Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your compassion. Thank you for your blessings in our lives. Thank you for making us what we are at this time. We are so grateful for the work of transformation you have done in us and you are still doing in us. Thank you also for the works of deliverances you are doing in our lives. Thank you for your light that is shining on our souls to deliver us from every deception, lies, and captivities. Thank you for teaching us the right way to follow. Thank you because you have opened our eyes to see the truth, to know it, and to believe it. Oh God, be praised forever in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for your presence in our lives. Thank you for the ministrations of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Thank you for how you have been revealing yourself and the realities of your kingdom to us. Oh God, be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for using this Bible study class as a weapon of transformation in the lives of people all over the world. And thank you because even through this session we will be having right now, you will still change our lives. And you will speak to us expressly by your Holy Spirit. Thank you for that because we know you have answered these prayers. Help every one of us. Speak through me and let your people be blessed. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. We had to start today's class a bit late because of so many things I have to do today. Yeah, so we are going to quickly continue from where we stopped. Remember that we are still on the topic or theme that I call building a strong relationship with God. Yeah, and we have dealt with several points under that theme or topic. So today, we are moving to point five, which is resting in the Lord. Resting in the Lord. So under this point five, there are some sub points that I'll be talking on. Yeah, point A is the Bible instructs us to rest in the Lord. The Bible instructs us to rest in the Lord. So what exactly is resting in the Lord? What does it mean? What does it mean to rest in the Lord? Yeah, let's start from the word rest. You know that this word rest is speaking of relaxation. And sometimes it speaks of sleep, though sleep seems to be a deeper state of rest. Yeah, because there is a realm of sleep where you are deeply unconscious to whatever is happening in your environment. Yeah, so rest is a state of comfort, a state of peace, is a state of calmness, is a state of relaxation. Yeah, is a state of confidence. Is a state of complete assurance that you are secured, you are safe. Yeah, complete assurance that there is nothing to worry about. Is a state where you don't worry, you are not anxious, you are not fearful. Yeah, you are not troubled. So in a state of rest, there is no trouble, there is no chaos, there is no war. Yeah, there is no panic. That is what rest means. Yeah, that is what rest means. So now, what does resting in the Lord mean? It's simple. It means you made the Lord, or you have made the Lord your resting place. You are resting in Him. And indeed, in Him is a resting place. If you look at Matthew chapter, I think Matthew chapter 11 verse 28. Yeah, let me confirm. Where the Lord said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." Yeah, that is it. It's correct. Matthew 11 28. It says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So the Lord, or maybe I should say, in the Lord is a place of rest indeed. Yeah, and I have come to realize that there is no place of rest in this world except in Him. You might have a beautiful building, a beautiful mansion. Yeah, with high level security, with so many structures to make you comfortable and to give you depths of relaxations or pleasures. Even in all of that, you cannot have rest except you are in the Lord. So that there is no rest outside of the Lord. There is no rest in so many things in this world. But eventually they came to realize that only in Jesus is true rest. Yeah, so that was why I said that in the Lord is true. I said, only in the Lord can you find rest. Only in Jesus can you find rest. Yeah. Because every other thing can fail. Every other places, peoples, every other thing can fail, but the Lord cannot fail. Yeah, because He has never failed. Yeah. Now, how does the Bible instruct us to rest in the Lord? Let us look at some few. Let's look at some few verses of the scriptures that instructs us to rest in the Lord. In Psalm 37, verse 7. Psalm 37, verse 7. You will see where it says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. So you rest in the Lord mean that you rely on the Lord. You trust in the Lord. It means you are confident in the Lord. You know, sometimes when God gives some word of promise, many Christians still have a way of going somewhere else to find solutions to their problems. They still have a way of seeking other alternatives to find solutions to their problems. It's because they don't know the Lord. And it's also because they refused to rest in the Lord. I think I've mentioned this before, maybe in some of my teachings. Yeah, there was a time I was while I was still in school, in the nursing school, in the tertiary institution. Yeah, there was a time. I mean, at that time, there was a lot of payments in the school that I have not made. So I was owing a lot of payments. I mean, I was owing the school a lot of money. And failure to pay those money means I can't write exams. And then I might even have to repeat. Yeah, I might have to repeat an entire year of study. But I decided to rest in the Lord. I've not said this before. Yeah. So what I did was I concluded. I said, well, there's no money coming from home. There's no support coming from anywhere. So I said, all right, I'm going to just leave the school and go to the mountain to pray. So I left the school. I did not tell anyone, though. I think that was wrong, because I should have even told my roommates that I'm going somewhere to seek the Lord. But my plan was to go to the mountain and never come back to school. So my plan was, I'm just going to stay here and see what is going to happen. Yeah, like I'm going to stay in the presence of the Lord, and whatever will happen, let it happen. Yeah, I have nothing, so I said, whatever will happen to me here, let it happen. Yeah, so I was there, and everyone was perplexed in the school. Yeah, because they knew me as a very quiet person. I don't talk. I'm very reserved in nature. So they were like, where did this guy went to? Was searching for me as though I was kidnapped, but I wasn't kidnapped. I just decided to leave everything and go to seek the Lord. Yeah. So and I think the reason why many of them were perplexed is because of the way our institution operates. We operate like a military training. So they monitor you going out and coming in. Yeah, you can't just leave the school without letting the school know you have gone somewhere. Yeah. So they were looking for me. So everyone was seriously concerned, including all the lecturers in the whole school. So, yeah. So that was the time I knew people really care about me, because I never knew anyone cares about me. Yeah. So they were looking for me, and somehow, I don't know how, I think after maybe 2 days, somehow they got to find me on the prayer mountain. And one of the lecturers came with a car to get me out of the mountain. So they asked me, they said, "What is the problem?" I said, "Okay, there's no money." So I decided to go to the Lord, to the Lord's presence, to see the Lord. So they said, it's not like that. I don't know why I'm laughing. So they said, you shouldn't have done that. At least you would have seek for help from the lecturers. Yeah, then why did you put everyone into panic and all of that? So I said I'm sorry and all of that. But the good news is that everyone decided to help me. All the lecturers, begin to contribute money to help me. And that was how I was able to pay all I was owing the school. And I even had extra. Yeah, so my point is that maybe that breakthrough wouldn't have come if I hadn't done that. Though I thought I was foolish to some point. Maybe I should have, let some people know where I went. But somehow, I went to the Lord's presence, and somehow God intervened. Yeah. So when we say rest in the Lord, we mean that you are patient, or you are patiently waiting for the Lord's promise, and you are not worried while waiting. Yeah, some singles, they are seriously looking for marriage, and they thought that you get marriage by looking for it. Now, when I was looking for marriage, I did not get it. In fact, I got into a very serious problem, which it was only God that rescued me. Yeah, it was when I wasn't looking for it that I got it. When I just forget about it and said, "God, is you that I want. I don't want marriage." That was when I got marriage. So the key to getting the fulfillment of God's promises is to be patient enough to rest in Him. So meaning that while you are waiting for His promise, you are not trying to help God solve your problem. You're not looking for alternatives. You're not trying to work it out by yourself. But you just sit down and you're waiting. I mean, you're just calm. Yeah. So resting in the Lord means that you are very calm while waiting on the Lord. Yeah, there's a place of waiting on the Lord, and there's a place of resting while waiting. So meaning that you are not worried, you are not anxious, You're not fearful. Yeah, there are other times when, you know, when there will be payments in school, you know, payment I'm supposed to make in school, and almost everyone would have made the payment, and I wouldn't have mine, but I would just put it off my mind. I would just focus on other things. Yeah, and somehow I would get the money and I would get the breakthrough. There are many times that brethren would be going on missionary assignment. Yeah, because I was part of a missionary organization for some time. So there are times that we would have set a date that we are traveling to a particular village, yeah, a remote area, to preach the gospel. And I will have no money for transport. Yeah, but the Lord, you know, but the Lord will give me the assurance. The Lord will say, just pack your things, get ready because you are going. I said, okay. So when the other brethren called me on the phone, I said, brother, are you ready? We'll be going some time. I said, yes, I'm ready. But I have no transport for the journey. But I'll tell them that I'm ready and I'm going. Yeah. And eventually, by the time we get to the bus, God already spoke to someone to pay for me. Yeah, God already spoke to another brethren to pay for my fee, my transport fee. Yeah, and that is how I will go, and you know, and those missionary trips really helped me a lot. Yeah, much of what I am today was because of so many encounters I had on the mission field while trying to win souls to the Lord. So my point is that if we rest in the Lord, we will see his faithfulness. Yeah. If we rest in the Lord. So it's not about human calculations. It's not about human understanding and wisdom. It's about God's wisdom. So God is saying, do you trust my wisdom enough to wait and to believe that I will do what I have said? Do you trust my wisdom enough to wait and believe that what I have promised, I will do it? Yeah, so that is what it means to rest in the Lord. Not that while you are waiting, you are saying, God, you say I'm waiting. Yeah, and you have not done it yet. Lord, I'm still waiting. And your mind is so troubled. That is not resting in the Lord. Yeah. Yeah, when you're waiting on God, you must be calm. You must be joyful. You must be happy while you are waiting on him to do what he has said. Not that you are troubled and you are looking for, maybe I should call someone, maybe someone can fix this. I think God is taking too long. I think God is not smart enough. If you're like that, you will wait forever and the promise will not come to pass. So we must learn to rest in him even as we wait for him. Now, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3, it says, we which have believed do enter into rest. Yeah, we which have believed, you and I, do enter into rest. And also in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9, it says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Yeah, so there is a rest in God. And I know I have found this rest, and I know what it is. There is a state of rest in God. In that realm, there is no worry. Yeah, in that realm, there is joy overflowing. There is endless joy, endless joy, and there is satisfaction. There is happiness. Yeah, and that is in the Spirit of the Lord. Yeah. And I live in the Spirit. I walk in the Spirit. I talk from the realm of the Spirit. I relate with people from the realm of the Spirit. So all the time I make sure I am in the Spirit, because that is where true rest is. Yeah, that is where true rest is. So even if it looks like the whole world is falling apart and everyone is running helter-skelter, I am not moved, and of a truth, I am not moved. Yeah, because of where I am in the Lord. So it doesn't matter what is happening around me. There is this state of calmness, joy, satisfaction, contentment. That is just in me. Yeah, and if anything is trying to pull me out of that state or out of that realm, I fight that thing immediately. Yeah, so I make sure I am in the rest of the Lord. Always. Always. Yeah, and why do I make sure of this? Because that is where the Lord will speak to me. It is in this state of rest that He will speak. That is where the Lord will lead me and direct my path. And that is where I will always have access to a lot of benefits. A lot of benefits. And that is the state of victory. Yeah, that is why every time I speak, people are blessed. Yeah, because I don't speak from the realm of the flesh. I speak from the realm of the Spirit, from the realm of God. God, from the realm of God, let me put it that way, which includes God's wisdom, God's power, God's victory, and all of that. Yeah. So if we are in the Spirit, we will be in this rest, because it is in the Spirit, in Him, that we can have this rest. And if we are always in this state of rest, we would become successful easily. We would become great easily. We will win battles easily. We will do ministry easily. Yeah, I don't want to go into some details. Yeah. Let's continue. Now, point B. You know, we are still talking on resting in the Lord. Yeah, for those of you that joined late, we're talking on resting in the Lord. Now, point B is that is take time to sit at Jesus' feet, or take time to sit at the feet of Jesus, like Mary did in Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. Yeah, Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered, serving. And Jesus said, Mary, I've chosen a good part. Yeah, that cannot be taken away from her. So resting in the Lord also means that you sit at Jesus' feet. It means you learn. Yeah, it means you learn. In that place of rest that is in God, that is in Jesus, there is a lot of wisdom there. So when you stay there, you will learn. There is no confusion there. Yeah, there are so many things I don't understand. Yeah, but the fact that I don't understand them is not a problem. What I try to do is to go to where I will find clarity. And that is in Him. Or in His rest. So that is where I get understanding. Yeah. So if there's a situation that is confusing, let's say there's a situation that happens in my life that is so confusing and I don't understand, I don't panic. All I need is to spend time with God. So by the time I spend some few hours with God, I am already enlightened about that situation. And the confusion will disappear. Yeah, you can try what I'm telling you. I mean, what I'm telling you right now, you can try it. Maybe in the course of one of the days in your life, you encounter a confusing situation. Yeah, or a situation of trouble, a situation that is trying to get you depressed. Yeah, what you should do is to leave that situation. Just leave it there where it is and go to spend time with God. By the time you spend 2-3 hours with God, by the time you'll be coming out to see that situation, you're already an overcomer. Yeah, and you just see yourself above the situation. Because the Lord would have spoken to you, except you did not allow Him. The Lord would have enlightened your understanding. Yeah, even though physically the situation might not have been solved, but the wisdom and the strength and the enlightenment that you will get from the Lord's presence will be so strong that you will no longer be affected by that situation. So you just see yourself as above the situation. Yeah. And sometimes you just see yourself defeat that situation, overcome that situation. Yeah. So this is very important that you do. Oh, now let's look at point C. That is, cast your burdens and worries on God. Cast your burdens and worries on God. In Psalm 55, verse 22. It says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall sustain you. Cast your burden upon the Lord. Upon the Lord. Your worries and burdens. Your worries and burdens. So meaning that you hand it over to the Lord. You hand over the issue to the Lord. There are so many things I have refused to think about. A lot of issues always come to my mind, a lot. And I have refused to think about a lot of them. Why? Because by thinking about them, we'll solve nothing. That's the truth. By thinking about them, it will not solve anything. In fact, it will make my problem, or it will worsen my problem. Yeah, imagine you are thinking on something that you cannot solve. Yeah, so why think on what you cannot solve? Why think on what you cannot solve? Yeah, so what I do is I just hand it over to the Lord. I hand it over to the Lord. Now, if you look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. It says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, that's 26. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, but yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Now, verse 27, yeah, which I really wanted to look at. It says, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Yeah, so your constant worries and anxieties will not change anything. So that is why I refuse to think about those things. So I refuse to think about what I will eat. I refuse to think about what I will drink, what I will put on. Yeah, I refuse to think about my future. I don't think about my future. I don't know if you have had anyone speak like this before. You know, I don't know if you have had anyone say he doesn't think about his future. And if you have not had anyone, I am someone that is that kind of person. Yeah. I don't think about my future. I have no plan for the future. I have no ambition. Yeah. There is nothing I want to become. As I am right now, as I'm talking right now, I have nothing to become. I have no plan for the future. And I'm not foolish, nor am I stupid. I'm following the scriptures. Yeah. Because if you look at the scripture, you will see that self-ambition is a sin. I don't know if you have seen that in the Bible before. That self-ambition is a sin. Okay, maybe I should show you. I think it's in Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. Okay. Yeah, except maybe I will show you later. Yeah. So it's all in the Bible. It's all in the Bible. Yeah. Jesus said, take no thoughts of what you will eat what you will drink. Yeah, take no thought of tomorrow. Let tomorrow take thought of itself. Yeah, so the reason why I don't have a future plan, yeah, is because if I have a future plan, I am likely to stop God's plan from coming to pass in my life. Yeah, so that is why I don't have anything I want to become. There is nothing I want to become. The only thing I want to become is what God wants me to be, which that will happen as long as I stay in Him, and as long as I stay in His rest, and I continue with Him, and I continue to trust Him. What I will be, I will be. I mean, what He wants me to be, I will be. But if I have some plan.
Of my heart, lay before you again, say over, over and over again, I am bringing my heart to you with open hands.
Closer and closer, closer, you're drawing me in.
As the depths of my heart, lay before you again, Lord,
I am trusting that you
we must be very careful. We must be very careful. Yeah, I'm still trying to show you that place. Yeah, but maybe later when I find that scripture, I will show you. Yeah, that will be later. Yeah, but it's all in the scriptures. So you don't change anything in your life by thinking about it. So what you do is hand them over to the Lord. Hand over the situation to the Lord, including your future, and it's over to the Lord. Yeah, some people that have seen the growth and the speed I have experienced in ministry, they feel like maybe there are some secret things I'm doing that I'm not letting them know. But there's no secret thing I'm doing. The only thing I'm doing is this same thing. Or maybe I should say, the only thing I've been doing to now Is this something I'm teaching you? There's no secret anywhere that I'm doing to have success in ministry. Yeah, to grow and to see breakthroughs and to see God's blessings and all of that. There's nothing I'm doing. The only thing I'm doing is to rest in the Lord, to trust in the Lord, and to live my own plans, ambition, and embrace Him. So it is whatever He wants me to say that I say, whatever He has called me to do that I do. So I'm not trying to do something else. Yeah, that is not from Him. So it's just like I'm resting in Him, and everything I do them from Him as He enables me. That is it. And as I do that, I see a lot of changes every day. And when I have these successes, some people think I have planned them, but I never planned anything. Yeah, I never planned anything. All I have been doing is to trust Him. Yeah, to trust Him and to continue to follow Him in faith and to continue to be faithful to everything He has called me to do. That is it. Yeah, and I don't think about how will I have a big ministry like like some people have big churches or big buildings and they are known all over the world and they are on the TV and they are on the radio and they are everywhere. I don't have plans for that. And I don't want to have. Yeah, because it's none of my business. All of that is none of my business. My business is to follow the Lord, trust in the Lord, obey the Lord, believe Him. That's all. So all of that is God's business to do at any time He wants to do it. So if He doesn't do it, I have no problem. If He do it, I also have no problem. Yeah. So I don't know if you get my point. So that is what it means to cast your cares and burdens to the Lord. So you don't think about things that is not yours to think about. Your future is not yours to think about. Yeah. Let Him think about that. You just follow Him and continue to follow Him. Trust Him and continue to trust Him. Believe Him and continue to believe Him. And that is it. Yeah, and let it be part of you. Not that you are struggling to trust Him. You are struggling to believe Him. No, it's not what I'm doing. I'm not struggling to do it. It is my life. It has become my life. It has become my nature. So to believe God is just my nature. To trust Him is just my nature. Yeah, so it must not be that you are struggling. And you will come out of that place of struggling when you have given up on your life. Yeah. When you have given up on your life. Yeah. In fact, when you have given up on your future. I say, God, I have handed over everything to You. My life is not my own anymore. Yeah. You know, there was a time I told God, I said, I don't care if You use me to do all these wonderful things You are showing me that You want to do in the whole world. I said, I don't care if You use me or not. What I care about is that you do it. So you can use anyone. Just make sure you do this thing, because these things will save souls. When you stretch forth your hand to heal, when you stretch forth your hand to deliver, when you stretch forth your hand to change people's lives, it will save their soul. So I said, God, I don't have to be used for these things. You just do it. Because I just want souls saved. Yeah. So I said, if you use me for miracles, fine. But I just want people to be delivered. I just want them to fulfill their destinies. I just want their lives to be transformed. And you can just use anyone. So I'm just asking you to make sure you do these things in the earth. And I was sincere about it. Meanwhile, we have some ministers that they feel like it must be them that God will use for certain things. So they keep looking for self. They are looking for power, looking for anything. Yeah, I mean, looking for things that does not exist, or maybe things that is not lost. Maybe I should put it that way. They're looking for things that is not lost, things that is already in Christ, but because they are so self-centered and prideful, God could not allow them to have access to such power and grace and anointing. Because it's all about them, and it's not about God. It's not about them. Yeah. So people have cars. Yeah. But why do you want to have a car? Is it because people have cars? Or is it because God wants you to have car? Yeah. Or is it for the sake of evangelism, or for the sake of fulfilling your destiny? Yeah. If God is going to release certain benefits into your life, one of the things God will check is the drive in your heart. What is driving you to seek these things? Yeah, if God is not at the center of what is driving you, many times God might not release that benefit. Yeah, if what is driving you to seek for those things is all about yourself, yeah, and not about God, you will not release those things. Many times you will not. Yeah, because he knows that he will not be glorified after he releases those things. The only person that will be glorified is yourself and the devil. God will not be glorified. So that is why in many cases, you will not release those things. Yeah, because you look at the drive in your heart for those things, and it's all about you, not all about your divine purpose, not all about your divine destiny. Yeah, there's nothing wrong to buy a car when you have the money. Yeah, but why not buy a car for a reason that has to do with God and God's kingdom? Yeah, maybe that will make God to give you another car. I don't know. Maybe that will make God to now make you someone that buy cars for people. Yeah. So every time we seek for God's glory, we seek that God should be glorified, we will get more from God. But every time we seek for ourselves to be glorified, we will get less or nothing from God. Yeah, I believe you understand that. All right, we are still on on cast your burdens and worries on God. Let's look at the same Matthew. Okay, not Matthew. In James chapter 4. I read from verse 13. It says, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there for a year and buy and sell and get gain. Verse 14, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Verse 15, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boasters. All such rejoicing is evil. You see that? I think that that's one of the verses that speak against self-ambition. Because when you have self-ambition, that's when you, some people, like right now, they already planned out the next 5 years. They already planned it out. When 5 years have not yet come. There's a difference between when the Lord already give you a direction about the future. There's a difference between that one and when you already planned out your life. You already planned out your life and you don't even know what is the plan of God for you tomorrow. For instance, does anyone know that that in the year 2020 there's going to be a global pandemic? Even though it was a created pandemic, they created it. Does anyone ever knew? Has anyone ever planned for it? The time will come when you don't get a vaccine, you can't stay in your job. You can't have your job, you can't keep your job, except you get the vaccine. Has anyone ever planned that before? I remember when I'm not going to mention the name of the person. One of our sisters in the ministry, when she was going to, when she got a job at another location. And there were some people were saying, just stay in this job. Don't go to this new job and all of that. But we prayed about it. I said, God wants you to go. Don't listen to those that don't want you to go. I said, go and take the job. And she obeyed, and she went, and she took that job, not knowing that we'll be having things like this pandemic, lockdowns, and then you don't take vaccine. You can't stay in the job. So I'm sure if she hadn't followed that instruction from the Lord, she would have been jobless for many months, maybe more than a year. So my point is that don't have your future planned out. Let God plan it out for you. Let God lead and guide you. Yeah, so that is why somebody like me does not have an ambition. I don't think about tomorrow. I want to do this. I want to do that. In fact, if I'm going to make any changes in the ministry, I have to pray seriously about it and say, God, do you want us to make these changes in how we do our programs? Are you comfortable with it this way? I have to ask God over and over again to be sure, because I know the danger of trying to follow my own plans that is not God's plans. Yeah, it could destroy everything about my destiny, and it could stop me from getting to where God wants me to get in life. See, a lot of people are doing ministry as though it's their business, they know how to do it. No one knows how to do it. Even Jesus, he showed us an example that he himself doesn't know how to do ministry. Yeah, he said, I do whatever I see God do. So meaning that everything he does was led by God, by the Holy Spirit. Everything he does was following a divine pattern to do whatever he does. Yeah, so he was so careful not to do anything that doesn't line up with what God is doing. I don't know if you are getting my point. He was so careful and so conscious to make sure that he doesn't say anything that God doesn't want him to say. That he doesn't go anywhere God doesn't want him to go. Yeah, he doesn't minister in a way God doesn't want him to minister. He was a man so full of power. He could do many things without power, but was so careful not to do many things. Yeah, because it was not his business. It was God's business. Yeah, so the same thing about your life. Don't think it's yours. The moment you give your life to Christ, your life is not yours anymore. Yeah, you are now living for Christ. You are now living the life Christ will give you. Your own life is dead. The life you now live is the life that Jesus will give you. And that life, you don't know that life. You don't know. So you have to let him lead you. You have to listen to him. Yeah. You have to seek him for wisdom and understanding and for direction. So this is where many are getting it wrong. Several times the Spirit of God will tell me that look at that church. They have failed. Look at this other church. They have failed. Look at this one. They have failed. So I was now like, which church has not failed? Because almost every church he showed me have failed. And one of the things he said made them fail is the fact that they are doing the work as though it's their work. They are doing the work of God as though it's their business, as though they know how to do it, whereas they don't know how to do it. So they are not letting the Lord have his way. Yeah, they have brought human philosophies, human ideas, human wisdom, human pattern of leadership into God's work, and that is why it failed. It did not prosper in their hands, because they did not follow the divine pattern for that work. So that is it. I'm going to read some few verses, and then we are going to round off the session. In Matthew chapter 11, now I'm going to read verse 29 and verse 30. Since I already read verse 28 to you. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. Now Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Verse 30, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And of a truth, I can tell you boldly that his yoke is easy." The yoke of Jesus is easy and very light. His burden is very light. Yeah. Some time ago, I used to do ministry like, what am I going to say now? I don't want to make a mistake. I'm going to be leading people in prayers, so I don't want to make mistakes. I want to be able to speak very well. I want to be able to type very well. I want to be able to do this. So I'm so conscious of those things. But later I discovered that I was getting it all wrong. Yeah. I discovered that I was getting it all wrong. I was so careful. I don't want to speak in a way that people will not like, or in a way that people will think I don't know God, or I don't know how to put it. I was thinking so many things then. Yeah. But later I got to realize that I was wrong to be so careful of how people will feel about my ministry or about my ministrations. Yeah, I discovered that I was all wrong. So it's not about how the people will feel. It's about how the Lord will feel. Yeah, that should be my concern. And now when I begin to look at how will the Lord feel, and the Lord said, you just let me flow through you. You don't need to bother about, will I say this thing very well? Will the people understand as I say like this? Will the people like it this way? He said, you don't bother about all of that. You just let me flow through you. You just let my spirit move through you. Yeah, you just forget about yourself and let my spirit move through you. Yeah, so and as I begin to let his spirit flow through me and speak through me, and I discover that it's so easy to do all these things. I discover that it's so easy to teach. It's so easy to preach. It's so easy to lead people in powerful prayer sessions. I discovered that it's so easy to do all these things just by letting him take over, just by letting him speak through me and minister through me. Yeah. So, and I discovered that if I let him have his way through me, or flow through me. I discovered that it will help me not to be prideful, not to be proud. And it will help me not to think I did anything special. Yeah, if I minister now and thousands of people are healed, thousands of people are delivered, it will not do me anything. I would not start feeling proud. Yes, I'm a miracle worker. I will not start feeling like that. Why? Because it's not me. Because I already step out of the way. So it's him doing all of that. Not me anymore. It's him. So because I have allowed him. So it will be too difficult for me. So many people have said, wow, I love that prayer session. You led. It's so powerful. God spoke to me. God touched me. God healed me. God delivered me while you were praying and all of that. I've had a lot of testimonies like that. But all I say is glory be to God. Why? Because it's not me that do all those things. And I don't even know how. I didn't know how any of those things happened. Up to now that I'm talking to you, I don't know how God did all those things. Yeah, because I already stepped out of the way. I already yield myself to him as an instrument. So it's all about him. And it's none of me. It's none about me. Yeah, so that is why I can boldly tell you that the Lord's yoke is easy. The Lord's burden is light. That is for a man that has died to self. That is for a man that has crucified the flesh. Yeah, not for a man that is looking for human praise, that wants people to praise him, that wants people to worship him. A man that is trying to take God's glory, not for that kind of man, but a man that have surrendered everything to the Lord. A man that is not living his own life, but living the life God gave to him. Yeah, such a man will discover that the Lord's yoke is easy. So meaning that the work of God is easy. If you let God have his way, it's so easy to preach. If you step out of the way and let him take over, it's so easy. It's so easy. Yeah. So the last verse is First Peter verse 5, chapter 5, verse 7. First Peter chapter 5 verse 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Yeah. So I have mentioned that. I have learned recently, or maybe not recently, maybe last year, I have learned that God cares for us more than we care for ourselves. Yeah, I have learned that he cares for us more than we care for ourselves. I don't know if that makes any sense to you. So look at what you want for yourself right now. God wants much more for you than what you want for yourself. So he just wants people to trust him. And he wants people to live selfless lives, sacrificial lives. That's all. Yeah. Then you will discover that he really cares for you more than you care for yourself. Yeah, that's what you find out. That's what I found out. Yeah. Because I've seen him do for me things I don't even ask him. Yeah, and then I now realize that he actually cares for me more than I care for myself. Yeah. So we're going to stop here. If you have questions, you can put it on the group platform, or you can ask me personally. Yeah, our time is already fast spent. And let us pray. Father, we thank you for your love and grace. Thank you for this hour of teaching. Thank you for making it a refreshing hour in your presence. Thank you, Lord, for exposing our eyes to see things differently from the way the world has seen. Lord, I ask that these truths you have revealed in the course of this teaching, that these truths will find a resting place in the hearts of your people that have heard this teaching. I ask, oh God, that these truths will change the way they think and the way they see life and the way they see things, even the way they perceive their future. Lord, let these truths change the lives of your people. Thank you, Father, because I know you shall do more than I have asked. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, I have prayed. Amen. Yeah, I will still try to look for more verses that talks about you not thinking about your future, not even planning about your future. Yeah. I will look for more verses that speaks on that, and I'll put it on the group. The Lord bless you all. Amen.